Hello, and good morning, evening, or afternoon, depending on your personal location on this planet we live on, hurtling through space. Oh, I have just got the best news. I'm so happy. I have solved a great mystery. But first of all, let me just say that you're listening to Anon Radio. My name is Tobe, and you've caught me on a good day because, boy oh boy, massive mystery solved. Oh, it's like a monkey off my back. The relief I'm feeling, I cannot even begin to describe it. Joy. It's like Christmas morning, but for my brain. You gotta be asking yourself by now, what could Tobe possibly be going on about? My fortune cookies? I've solved the problem of my fortune cookies. What's the problem with your fortune cookies? The fortune cookie problem is this. I eat a lot of Chinese food because, you know, there's not a lot of gluten or lactose in it or anything else that is bad for me. And I get lots of vegetables and rice, and I love vegetables and rice so much. Nom, nom, nom. And today, I was hungry, and I decided, okay, I gotta get some food, so I went over to the Chinese place that's across the street from the place where the old Walmart used to be, not to be confused, but with the Chinese place that also has Vietnamese food that's across the street from where Walmart is now. And I got lemon chicken. They have really good lemon chicken there. And I got lemon chicken. And I had to get it and bring it home because I wanted to watch the UEFA Champions League magazine show, which I have to watch religiously, obviously. But the point here is, you get a fortune cookie with your order, correct? I mean, you've had Chinese food, and this is my fortune cookie right here. And it's the kind that's wrapped in cellophane, and just is the one that says fortune cookies. And I don't like, I mean, these are okay, but I like the one. My first favorite kind is the kind with the Mandarin baby on it, and he's got the wand or whatever, and he's got a fan, and he's dancing or doing something. You know the ones I'm talking about. It's full color, and it's got like gold ink, so it's like four-color process printed plus one, CMYK plus gold spot printing. Oh, so awesome. I love those Mandarin baby dudes. They're always cool. I don't know really what they are, but you know what I'm talking about. Actually, we need to consult Hong Todo for this. Our very own Hong Todo, who also has a cool show on Anon Radio. He knows a lot about Chinese culture and stuff. Maybe he could explain this whole good luck, happy fortune, magic Mandarin baby dude. But anyway, then there's the other fortune cookies that have the panda on them. And that's only two-color printing. It's red and black, which is pretty good, and I like pandas and all that, but then there's these. That's the most boring wrapper ever. Fortune cookies, and there's only one. So it shouldn't say fortune cookie, singular. The problem with fortune cookies that I have is, you know, I can't eat a lot at any given time, so I usually set aside a lot of food, and of course the fortune cookie's the last thing I eat. And it might even not get eaten until the next day. And that's very common, and it also something I forget about them, and that's why I have fortune cookies laying around in weird places in my house, and I find them all over. But anyway, I'll find these fortune cookies the next day, or 2 days later, or 3 days later, and I'll go, oh yay, fortune cookie, I'll eat a fortune cookie, and I'll open up the fortune cookie wrapper, and then I'll try to crack the fortune cookie open, and it's all stale. Now, you know, just, you're going to get a stale one every once in a while. But I'm talking every single one of these that I set aside ends up getting stale. And I haven't been able to figure out why or how this is happening until tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, that's correct. I have solved the fortune cookie stale mystery. And I'm about to reveal it to you here on Anon Radio. It turns out it's my cat. That's right. Just minutes ago, I was sitting in front of the TV watching, I don't even know what it was. I think it was a car insurance commercial It wasn't, you know, football. I don't know what was happening. And anyway, then my cat comes in, and I had this fortune cookie sitting on the floor next to me where I sit, and the cat comes up to it, starts checking it out, and starts batting it around, and then she starts chewing on the plastic, on the cellophane. Because, you know, cats love this stuff, and they'll, anything that crinkles, they can get all weird about it. And then she started chewing on it, and she got chewing on it so much that she actually pierced the envelope and broke the hermetic seal. It has now lost its integrity, and it is no longer airtight, just from tiny cat bite holes. And then she carried around for a while, and then she put it down, and she sort of knocked it back to where it was, and then she walked off. And I'm like, okay, now we know what's going on. So now, of course, I've got to open this fortune cookie, because it's just going to go stale, and I got to eat it now. So I'll open it, and let's see what the fortune is. Oh, yeah, nice and crispy open. See, that's the first time I've had a crispy fortune cookie in like months. Every time other times I tried to crack them, they just go flump, and it's like folding a wet sponge over. All right, let's see here. My fortune today reads, a master can act without doing anything, teach without a word. You know, I have to agree. But I don't know how I'm going to apply that, because this is a radio medium. Words are kind of important at this point. And this is the type of fortune that's got the good stuff on the back, too. Learn Chinese. Lunar New Year. And it's Nong Li Xin Nian. And you'll have to excuse my horrendous pronunciation there. Again, Hong To Do. Feel free to straighten me out here. And my lucky numbers today are 35, 24, 21, 36, 56, and 22. Place your bets early to avoid being shut out at the window. Yummy fortune cookies.
Try.
You are listening to Anon Radio. My name is Tobe. I'm the chairman of the Dubious Goals Committee. And we're back just in time. I got us a feed through the Universal Media NetWeb to get into the 84th Annual JamCon. So we're going to switch over right now to JamCon 84. Let's hope I do this just right.
Our next program is live from JamCon 84 with Crosley Bendix.
Well, I told him I had one idea for him. I said, we could make a documentary about jammers and jamming with all the Bay Area jammers and play it at the conventions, you know, at all the ham conventions.
Presents
JamCon 84. JamCon 84.
Hello, Radio Devotees. I'm Crosley Bendix, Director of Stylistic Premonitions here at UMN, and this morning I'm pleased to host JamCon 84, the second semi-biannual International Jammers Convention, from the beautiful Cubist Towers, overlooking all views at once. We'll be roaming the mini booths and displays throughout the morning, talking to industry representatives and law enforcement personnel. And the place is really filling up right now. We'll also be hearing from JamCon's special guest celebrity color man, Dr. Carl Sagan, who's up in the Sky Cube with the big picture. Carl, are you there right now? What's your impression of the whole scene from your perspective up there?
The future depends on the wise use of science and technology. And how can we do that if people don't know something about science and technology? How can they elect scientifically literate representatives in the House and in the Senate? How can they make proper decisions in referendums and other places where they have to vote on scientific issues?
Well, thanks, Carl. We'll be back to you for some more updates. We'll have live sounds by Negative Land tonight with communications, assistance from Ken Hastings and friends. Rex Everything is here with an on-the-street interview. You can jam JamCon 84. Yes, you can jam us at 415-848-4425. We're scanner accessible. However, Rex didn't give me that listing, so we'll have that for you later. 445-29. 14515. 14515. All right, scanner accessible, 14515. And now, let's go over to the weatherman for a little history.
Meter jamming, hello? Meter jamming, hello?
Are you there?
Yeah.
Are you involved with jamming?
Okay, I want you a historical perspective regarding the jamming as a reason for its coming into existence.
Lay it on us.
Okay, jamming started when there's something called a radio geek. These older people who kind of think they have a copyright on the mentality and type of conversation that's supposed to be used on ham radio.
That sounds like a conversation I heard just last night on my scanner with a few of those guys.
Okay, listen, the thing is that the more dynamic, more creative people who are willing to experiment 900 megacycle stuff, have more creative uses of the radio. Anything creative at all was in opposition to what these old-timers had going.
Maybe you could tell us why. I don't think they want me to ask that question.
Okay, some of these people just, you know, took the extreme reaction.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. I'm Jim Davis in Los Angeles, and this is the Westlink Amateur Radio News. The FCC has acted against 8 individuals allegedly involved in jamming a San Francisco area repeater, named in document titled, quote, a conspectus on recent Bay Area jamming cases, unquote, are 6 amateurs and 2 unlicensed individuals. This document, along with a show cause order against one of the alleged jammers, reached Westlink too late for an in-depth report last week.
K6MMZ, I'm getting out of this fucking bunch of idiots. Hey, Ralph, you're not too smart.
No. More. Words.
Hello, this is Dr. Ted Wright, and I'm talking with W6DR, who's been in the jamming business for several years now, about 10 years, is that right?
Yeah, at least 10, yes.
And you've never really held a legal ham call, is that correct?
That is correct.
Now, you started your operation, I believe, in Los Angeles.
Yes. In those days, I was on the air quite a bit, using a call that was not in the call book. I got along with a lot of the hams. They did not suspect a thing. And of course, back in those days, I couldn't even spell the word jamming. I didn't know what it meant or anything.
When did you move to the Bay Area and get involved? You can maybe tell us how that started.
That's when I really, really got introduced to Gary Kerr, who had been a friend of my friend.
Toilet Channel.
And Gary introduced me to the fine art of jamming.
That was on the 682 repeater. You used to get on there and talk normally to people, and then you sort of degenerated into the standard practice. Is that pretty much how you see it?
Yeah, when I first got in San Francisco, I attempted to join, you know, not a repeater per se, but to join in with QSOs, and then I met Gary, and he introduced me to a certain group of people on a certain repeater who he felt deserved our undivided attention, as it would be, which resulted in a lot of touch tones and pre-recorded material and music and just noise in general.
What was his problem with NKF? Was that just he just didn't like him, or is this some sort of personal insult or something?
I'm not sure what Gary's and the others' dislike for NKF was. I really don't know. I was sort of like a sheep, and it's kind of sad to admit it, really. You know, they says, why don't you jam this guy? So I jammed this guy, you know. I always thought its main idea was just to have fun. A new era of communication. And after that happened, it kind of lost its sparkle, you might say.
Go to hell.
Yes, well, we've heard examples of what was going on.
Fuck you,
Another person that was mentioned in that Westlink tape was Alan R. Vance, and I guess he had a license up to the time that he died recently, but there was an interesting incident that happened on the air. I think a neighbor was having television interference. Could you elaborate on that incident?
Yes, I don't remember the exact date, but Alan was on the air on 8-2 like he was quite frequently, sometimes legitimately and sometimes in a form of abusive language. Anyway, a neighbor was receiving TVI, television interference, from Alan's radio equipment. And the neighbor came over and asked Al if he would not cease his transmissions. Evidently, the neighbor was trying to watch TV. Al evidently said something, and the neighbor left. And then a few minutes later, the neighbor came back over. Al was sitting in a chair by his radio, and the neighbor came busting into the house through the screen door, which was unlocked, and had a knife in his hand. Al determined that his life was in danger. He pulled out a .22 caliber pistol and shot his neighbor 5 times. Alan Vance then decided to call the police, except for the fact that his telephone was out of order. He proceeded to get back on the 2282 repeater and requested assistance. Well, because of the recent jamming activity on 8-2 and Alan Vance being the subject of many puns and the source and the object of jamming, they weren't about to oblige him in any way, shape, or form. And this particular incident of him and his neighbor became one of the hottest items to hit 8-2. It probably, you hear people imitating gunshots, and they'd repeat the last 3 characters of his call, and it was just outrageous. They just, when that hit, 8-2 didn't have a prayer. It was, its days were numbered. And, well, I don't know about the other people. I hear a couple of them here and there, but the membership of 8-2 that was probably 200 or 300 members has probably completely dissipated, and the majority of them scattered throughout the band.
Okay. Thank you very much. This has been an interview with a bootlegger who uses the call W6BR, which we don't want to identify too much. This is Ted Wright. I'm going back to Crosley Bendix at JamCon, and we're through here. Thank you.
Out of the blue, on the wings of a dove, a messenger comes with the beating of drums. It's not a message of love.
Do you know how you can tell if Ewell Gibbons is streaking?
We're gonna have to drop you out for a minute.
You look for grape nuts and a golden rod.
Okay, that was real cute.
And imagine what it was like if you tried to tune into the BBC or the Voice of America and heard only jamming coming from your own government and heard the news you just heard over and over and over again. And worst of all, the fact you couldn't get talk radio. Gosh, that'd be awful.
We can jam radio talk shows, too. This particular talk show was very naive, and we were able to put in all these tapes and make him all flustered. So here it is right now.
Well, I hope you use Charmin.
All right.
Here's Roy Story Sports.
Someone liked it.
Yeah.
I was joking.
It's ice, as we used to call it, but it's the same difference. And it's better than cold coffee, I'll tell you that. And so let's find out what's on. Hello. Well, we had somebody in line one. Are you there?
Hello.
Yes. Can't we hear each other?
Am I on?
You sure are. Say something.
Hello.
Hello. I hear you.
Hello.
Are you trying to listen on the radio?
Am I on?
Don't you hear him? You hear
Hello?
Him?
Hello.
Yeah, I hear him.
Hello.
He can't hear us, I guess. Well, that's the way it goes. I don't know what happened or why, but he was on the air. But he couldn't hear us, and we could hear him. Okay. Hello there. Who's this?
A
This is Van Kolvik.
Van Kolvik.
My main interests are in fishing and hunting. They happen to be hobbies of mine personally.
Boy, you're with a bunch of other people, I'll tell you that.
I'm going to have you say that. My tongue's getting... I'm so excited here.
You are? Well, turn your radio down a little bit. That'll make it easier for you.
And thank you, all you folks.
I don't know what he's doing, but... It's not a full moon, is it? They don't allow little 10-year-olds up this late at night, I don't think, do they? I mean, all parents, you know, they give their children, let them watch TV for 30 minutes a day and PBS for an hour. They send them to bed at 7 o'clock and all that sort of thing. Isn't that it? They get up, make the bed, and do everything else. Sure they do. But they get their kicks out of this, and they go around and chuckling, say, look what I did. Oh... It's like the guys that run around with the radios on so loud you can hear them four blocks down the streets, and you want to ask them what else they got for Christmas, but they never tell you. Hello there, who's this?
This is Bob Fountain.
Oh, it's one of the three-year-olds that we have on the air every once in a while. I wish that woman would take her children and put them to bed at that time of night.
Okay, you're back on. IWH, I bet you can't top that. Hold on a minute. Everybody's talking at once. Yeah, Don, shut up. Mark, shut up. Mickey, shut up. Everybody, quiet.
Oh,
stop. No, no, you don't have to. Don't get mad at me.
Here,
Mark,
can you take this one?
That's me.
You've been listening to JamCon on Anon Radio. My name's Tobe, and I'm out of time for today, so stay tuned for The Barnacle Show, coming up in just a matter of seconds, and I will see you tomorrow. Bye, 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 bye. You gonna be Radio Kitty?
Acts as if this is going to be a call to itself, and it takes the number, and then if it's a number with